World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, I'm scrambling a little bit here. I had a little bit of technical issue with my laptop. Like I tell you, I know you get this, but I get up early, man. I get up at 5:30, and I, you know, I do a lot of research to try to bring. My wife said to me yesterday, she said, "Honey, you have more ways of saying the same thing than anybody I know." And you know, I got thinking about it. It is. I do. It is, isn't it? Isn't it really the same thing over and over and over? And it goes back to the fact that Matthew chapter 5 says that we are the salt of the earth. Pull that up there, Spence. And if we could just get the church to be the salt of the earth, if we could just get the church to do that, right? Verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost it, by the way, I always find this very, very fascinating. You, he's talking to whatever, pronouns, right? We're all big pronoun people. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost his savor. Now, come on, man. Come on. Salt ain't a he. Salt is an element. It isn't a he. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his, how is salt a he, a his? Well, it's because that is literally what you become. In the hands of the Lord, you become the salt. And the questions that's asked here in Matthew chapter 5, by the way, these are the words of Jesus. This isn't Paul. This isn't Timothy. This isn't somebody else. This is right out of the mouth of the Savior. He says, you're the salt of the earth. But if you quit being salty, you ain't going to be, how are you going to be salty again, he said. And if you get a Christianity that is saltless, it's good for nothing. Good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. I hear people I often hear from people say, Coach, why are you worrying about all that stuff? Let's just get souls saved. Well, okay. Then what? Get souls saved for what? Well, to be salt of the earth, to then get others saved. But we live in a culture and a society, and I've said this a number of times, where the number one person, I don't want to use person, figure in all of Western civilization, Jesus of Nazareth, there is zero history taught in our public schools to children about Jesus of Nazareth and his principles and precepts and rules by which he lived, which formed the basis of all civilization we live in today. Every one of us right now, we believe in right and wrong. Now, there may be gray areas. There may be gray areas, right? And that's called, they're teaching this stuff called value clarification, meaning, oh, yeah, he said that. But, see, values clarification always throws but in the middle of truth. Always does. It always does. And if Jesus said we were the salt of the earth, what is it that salt does? Why would he, of all the things he could have used, why did he use salt? Why? Well, I could run down the elements of salt because this is Pass the Salt Ministries. And, you know, when Michelle and I started this thing, the Lord started it through us 20-some years ago. That was the basis of Pass the Salt Ministries, because I looked around, there wasn't no salt. I was a high school football coach, simply coaching my hind end off, raising a family, and teaching children under our tutelage biblical principles. I didn't find anything radical about it. When did teaching having someone pray become injurious? At what point did praying with a student, teaching a student to pray, at what point did that become radical and taboo? When? And how was it that those of us who were his children, when he told us to go ye into all the world and teach them to observe all I've commanded you, that was a commandment from the Lord. What happened to us that we stopped doing it? The churches, when I was in London, Ohio, and they tried to take prayer off of the football field, the churches were compliant. Can somebody tell me how that possibly lines up? Well, I'll tell you why. It goes back to situational ethics. Romans 13, please. I'm sorry. This is right off the top of my head from the Lord. Romans 13. So when they got to the point where it became difficult for us to stand up and speak the truth, where we wanted to do that, we got scared. They're going to sue you. You're going to lose your job. And so then you begin to find out to yourself what really mattered. Now, Romans 13, by the way, is the club that they use to get us to obey the government. That's the club that was the club Christian pastors used to club me over the head because I was praying in defiance of the American Civil Liberties Union, whoever the hell they were. They came in and they huffed and they puffed and they blew the house down. They sure did. They sure did. They destroyed everything good and everything righteous that was going on that football team. Let every soul be subject unto the higher power. This is the hammer. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now look. God has an authority structure. God has an authority structure. I'll ask you a very, very simple question. Can the principal at the high school say yes or no to your son praying? Well, it's ridiculous to even think about it. See, he ain't the higher power. We're the higher power. See, we're the higher power, not the principal. Huh? Whoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So pastors and churches hide, because if they stand up and they fight against the government, they end up locked up in jail like Bill Dunphy. They don't want to do that. It's easier to say, we got to follow the rules. But Paul, for rulers, for the government are not a terror to good works, but to evil. To ask yourself a question. Praying with a football team before a game, good works or evil? Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. They just flip the table on it. They make you think that what God has called you to do is under the authority of the government. And if you do what God calls you to do, you're evil. That's what it says.
Boom.
You see it? For rulers are not a terror to good works. Bill Dunphy, they should have given him a bullhorn. He had one, but they should have given him one. They should have put him up on a platform because he was doing good works. But see, government has usurped the power of God, and government has become the authority over God. For God, why? Oh. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will you then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, Bill Dunphy, and you're not gonna, they're gonna praise you. So they just change what's good and what's bad. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. Who is the rulers? Rulers aren't a terror to you. They're a minister of God to you for good. What happens, Gino, if they become a minister of God to you for bad? What do you do then? When they become a minister of God to you for evil. But if you do that which is evil, you better be afraid. So all they do is change the meaning of evil. Disobeying the principles, now evil. Be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God. Who is the authority? A revenger to execute wrath upon him that does evil. The job of the king, the job of the church is to execute wrath upon evil. But when we let them change the meaning of evil, then they execute wrath upon the good. You see the flip-flop that's happened? Number five, roll up a little bit. This right off the top of my head, folks. I'm telling you, this is, therefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience sake. So see, there comes the rub. What do you think they locked all those guys up on J6? What do you think they did that? Did they want to shut them up? No. If you think that, you're missing it. If you think they locked up Bill Dunphy to shut him up, you missed it, baby. Why did they lock up Bill Dunphy? Somebody help me. Why did they lock up Bill Dunphy?
To shut us up.
To shut us up. You understand? There's a big one, though. Wherefore, you must be subject not only for wrath, but for conscience sake. I know this about Bill Dunphy, and I know this about Cal Zastro. I know this about all of them. Their conscience is clear. You do it for conscience sake. For you to know to do good and not to do it, to you it is evil. That's in the Bible. I don't have it on the top of my head. For you to know to do good and not to do it, to you it's sin. It's sin. If you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. So I look at myself and say, Coach Dave, loudmouth, big talker, they're teaching deviant sexual behaviors to third graders in your school. Are you going to do anything about it? And I say, well, Lord, Pastor, what do I do, Pastor? What do I do? Well, Coach Dave, who are you to judge? Who are we to judge, Coach Dave? Right? Because, so, see, you can pull things out of the scripture situationally and make him justify everything you do. You can't get away from the truth. And that's what's under attack today in America. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. When you speak the truth, you're speaking Jesus. And the Bible says you're going to be brought before governors and kings as a testimony against them. Think not what you shall speak, for it shall be given unto you that same hour what you shall speak. Go back, that's Romans. See, I'm sorry, that's Matthew, where we were at the beginning. Do we think, folks, do you think speaking the truth is going to bring love to you? Do you think you're going to get rewarded and patted on the back for telling them love? So, no, you're the salt of the earth. Huh? Think. Go back. You're doing good. Go up. Go up about 17. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your light's going to shine before men. You know why it's going to shine? Because when you stand up, the spotlight's on you and everybody's going to see it. That's letting your light shine before men. He said, look, Jesus said, don't think that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I didn't come to do that. I came to fulfill it. For verily I say to you, heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle shall pass from the law, nor bit. Whoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments shall teach or teach men to do so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you ain't getting in, baby. Now hang on. The Lord makes us righteous. You can never righteous yourself into the kingdom. You can't do it. You heard it said that from old time, shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, brothers, grown up, whoever's angry with his brother, that spirit's on you, without a cause, shall be in danger of judgment. And so, wait a minute. Hold on. I'm reading it. Whosoever is angry with his brother with a cause? Are you allowed to be angry with a cause? And if I'm angry with a cause and remain silent, am I denying the Lord and Savior? This is deep, isn't it, friends? Remember, scriptures told us that evil men have crept in unaware, changed the truth of God into lying, worshiped and served the creature more than. In other words, we worship our own desires more than what the Lord's called us to do. That's what that means. Evil men are going to creep in unaware, and they're going to tell you, hey, just don't get involved, coach. Just don't get involved with it. We don't. Come on, coach. Come on. Coach, don't pick a fight. By the way, King David, little David, he went and picked a fight, didn't he? Didn't little David show up at the battlefield? He was out, if I got this story right, he was out tending his sheep. He was just a nobody, nothing, back in the woods, listening to his, got his earbuds in, listening to whatever, taking care of the sheep. And he comes wandering out, and out there's a big gathering out there, there's big old giants out there, and everybody's screaming and hollering. David takes his earbuds out, looks up, says, what the, who is this dude? Who is this dude talking to y'all like that? Huh? And what did they say to David? Oh, David, stop it, man. Be quiet. Oh, no. David, just get back here. You're going to make him mad, Dave. Don't. They said, well, what happens? What happens if the guy goes out and drops that dude and confronts him? So, oh, man, he gets a kingdom. There's that kingdom word again, right? So we are made. Your Christianity is, you are least like Jesus when you are afraid. Go to Revelation 21. Where is it, Dale? The fearful and unbelieving. The fearful and unbelieving.
21:8.
21:8. Revelation 20. Let me ask you something. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Revelation 21:8. When he's throwing them all into the lake of fire. But the fearful and the unbelieving are the first ones gone. They're the first ones, the fearful and unbelieving. And the abominable. Hey, wait a minute. Let's go back to all of Romans 21. Bear with me a second here. Go back to all of Romans 21, because let's get the picture here. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven, first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. So hang on. Ultimately, rapture, no rapture, whatever, there's a new heaven and there's a new earth. Evidently, death ain't just death, is it? Huh? And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I don't want to get into the argument today, but boys and girls, there's a bride of Christ. It ain't the church. Huh? What are you talking about, coach? What about Willis? I saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. There it is. The new Jerusalem. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God's with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with him and be their God. There's a bunch of rejoicing going on. God's going to wipe away all their tears from their eyes. No more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Yahoo! Everybody's throwing their hats in the air. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto them, write these words, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning and the end. I'll give to him that is a thirst for the fountain of water of life freely. And he that overcometh, who? Huh? He who goes along? He who just sits around and goes with the crowd? He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I'm going to be his God, and he's going to be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, dude, you ain't getting in. I'm sorry. You ain't getting in. Oh, I'm goosebumping. There's some Bible for you. God, Bible says it. God said it. Whatever. The Bible says that I believe it. That settles it. But the fearful and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake with burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We're least like the Lord when we're afraid. And this whole thing of spiritual warfare and all that stuff that's going on. Can I tell you the truth? I realized it last night. Again, we only use spiritual warfare as a means of defense. Randy and Craig are kind of opening our eyes to that, right? What kind of football team would you have if all you did was play defense? Did you ever win? You just kind of hold ground. You just hold ground, wouldn't you? And why are we not advancing the ball? I know why. Because our leadership, I'm sorry, are fearful and unbelieving.
Boom.
Jesus, we're told to count the cost. Certainly we do that. But as a soldier in the army of God, what cost is too high? What cost? Count the cost. Realize it's going to cost you something. And if you get to that point in your life where you're fearful and you don't know if the Lord's going to work in that situation and you keep your mouth shut, you're laying right in there, baby, with the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers. It'd be like me taking my beautiful wife and let guys come by and throw stuff at her and call her names and spit on her and have their way with her. And I just sit there and I'm afraid what they're going to do to me if I open my mouth. We need a Christian reformation. That's where I am. That's where my heart is. And sometimes I feel like I'm the only, I know I'm not the only one, okay? I feel like that sometimes. I think, how can we let this go on? How can we let this go on other than bad theology? Hey, friends. It's one of the things I hate most about Christianity. To me, the rapture seems like escapism. It doesn't seem like we're being led by a conquering king if we're taken out. We're an army. We're supposed to be fighting evil. The fearful and the unbelieving. Huh? I think a lot of us are there. I think of Bill Dunphy went to jail and Dale, all those guys last night, all those Tennessee 10 people, all of them, they were honored last night. God, can you imagine? Can you imagine? You know, the Bible says, where is it? Was it at the death of Stephen? Somebody can help me out there. I don't know, in the book of Acts.
Chapter 7.
Man, thank you. Huh? One of the most amazing thing happens in Acts chapter 7. Let's see. How long is this? I got to find the right spot.
It's long.
It's long. What I want you to see is Stephen, Stephen's a martyr. And when Stephen stands up, when Stephen goes all in, the Lord stands up.
It's going to be towards the end. He's bringing his charges right there. He is quoting the Old Testament, bringing the charges against them.
But be he 54, and when he heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him. He went and spoke truth to power, and they gnashed on him. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing. Jesus got up. When somebody honorable walks into the room, you stand. And Jesus looked down at the tenacity and faithfulness of Stephen. He stood up. Wow. I say all this to you today because, folks, we are in the midst of something like we ain't never seen. And here's what I want you to know. The apple cart is being upset left and right. The kings of this earth are being exposed. I want you to know they ain't going down without a fight. They've had those levers of power, Psalm 2, quickly, for those of you who aren't in here every day, Psalm 2. Spence will get it up there. It's playing out in front of us right now. Why do the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? Because the kings of America have set themselves and they take counsel together. The Congress and the president and State Department, all those agencies, they take counsel together And their counsel is against who? It's against the Lord. It's against his anointed. And what does it say we're supposed to do? Capitulate and hide and pray for the evacuation? No, no. No, it says, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Because he in the heavens laughing about it. That same guy that stood, he's laughing at him. The Lord's going to have him in derision. Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, I can't get away from this. To me, this is Christianity 101. What do you do once you're saved? Once you're saved, what do? Go to church and dance around, wave flags, and put my arms in the air and tell Jesus how much I love him. I walk out, oh, I feel so refreshed today. So it's all about me. Everything's all about me. Greater love is no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. And they're slaughtering babies in abortion mills, and we don't care. We look the other way. Now, a lot of people look the other way, not because they don't care, but because they've been sitting in a congregation under a pastor who tells them, don't pay any attention to it. Don't worry about it. For you to know to do good and not to do it to you, it's evil. So let me ask you, is abortion good or is abortion bad? If abortion is bad, then why aren't we doing something about it? If teaching homosex to our children is bad, why aren't we doing something about it? For you who know to do good, not to do it, Jesus said it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw you in the deepest part of the ocean than let people teach that to your children.
Coach, I'm sorry, I got to cut in here. Okay. I'm just sitting here on pins and needles. You have said authority. Who is the authority in America? It's not our elected officials. It's not our judges. It's not our police officer. Go read the top emblem, the pre-emblem on the Constitution. We the people. And they turned it around. And that's what they did on January the 6th. They thought they were authority over us. We had the right to go there and tell that group of people, our congressmen, to take a look at what we were wanting them to do, but they turned it around that we were terrorists. But no,
Gino, they've done this to us. They've made Romans 13 about the natural federal government, right?
Amen.
And so we are, as Christians, who all authority, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me, and I give it unto you. Go ye therefore and teach them to observe all I've commanded you. All of a sudden, this demonic beast called government stood up and said, nope, not here. You can keep that church in your pocket. And you can
we've been taught ever since I was little. The church taught me we have to obey our authorities. And they told us it's our government. It's no. It is we the people. We're the authority.
So, Gene, for you to know to do good and not to do it to you, it is sin. Now, that doesn't mean, so here's what I think. For me to continue to obey ungodly government is evil. It is. Question is, what do we do about it? Well, we already saw you end up in jail. End up in jail. I'm ashamed to stand beside Cal Zastro, Bill Dunphy, and Eva. I'm ashamed. Ashamed. We all should be. Because the scripture, as we just found out, says that the fearful and unbelieving. What is unbelief? Look. Unbelief isn't neutral. Unbelief is belief. Unbelief is belief in something else. When God says, all power is given unto me both in heaven and earth, if you believe that, then you believe it. If you don't believe it, that's a belief also. It's a negative belief. And for whatever reason, evil men have crept in unaware, and they've taught us to believe all this stuff that isn't true. And not only taught us all to believe it, but it becomes the heart of the church. The church believes it. The church teaches. God bless America. Really? Really? Why should God bless America? Maybe that'd be a good place to start. Maybe it would be. Why? Because evil men crept in unaware, changed truth. I could go on for a month. I could go on for a month. Had a chance last night, David Arthur. I went up and saw David Arthur, spent some time with David last night. And for those of you who know Dave and know that whole situation, right? He fell. He's an ex-homosexual, ex-tranny, and had a ministry and was doing good and then fell. And so I went and heard him last night, and I believe he's reconverted. I believe he is. I asked this question, Gino. I asked this question last night. I asked this to him. He never really gave me an answer. Not that he didn't want to, but he didn't give me an answer. I said, what is homosexuality? Nobody would choose that. No. My little grandson, if he was same-sex attracted, which is what they call it, that ain't normal. That ain't normal nor natural. What is it, homosexuality? What is it? Is it a spirit? Is it a sickness? Is it a mental illness? Because I want some of you to stop and think about this. Think how hard it is to control what you eat. See an ice cream cone, you want one. It's hard. And you have this desire to have a sexual relationship with somebody of the same sex. Where does that come from? What the hell is that? He never really gave me an answer. It's a good question, isn't it?
It's a reprobate mind.
Does a spirit enter into how does that spirit? Do we believe in that? That that's a spiritual issue and not a physical one, not a natural? Is it a curse? What is it? What is, because I don't believe anybody chooses. I didn't choose to like women. I just kind of started liking women. But until we get to the nub of it, what is the issue? And understand, believe once again in the spiritual aspect of things. Golly, I'm all over the place. Think of the things they tempt little children with in school. Can you imagine teaching a 7-year-old that he might want to love another man? Can you imagine how wicked is that? That that's a part of the curriculum. Oh, I heard you, Lord. Holy Spirit said they just love their God more than Christians love mine, love theirs. I'll take a deep breath. I got some good stuff to show you. I didn't know I was going to do that for 33 minutes. But every problem we see in America, this is what Michelle said. I love my wife. She says, how do you say the same thing every day differently? I said, because I'm a coach. It's blocking and tackling. It's so simple. And we ain't blocking and we ain't tackling. And I could come in and I could flower it up and I could point about this and point about, but at the end of the day, those of us who are the salt of the earth ain't. It's so simple. We're the light of the world. We're not. We're the light of the church. We're the salt of the church. But we sure, for the most part, don't take it beyond that. Oh, I got some more stuff to give you. Go ahead, Lauren.
Good morning. Well, in regards to the salt, it's now come out that Bill Gates is trying to push his version of salt, and the salt on McDonald's French fries isn't just iodized salt. It has iodized salt in it and then two other chemicals with it.
And fluoride's deadly. They finally admitted that fluoride's deadly. Hang on. Donald Trump finally is going to investigate chemtrails. I mean, it's like freaking everywhere, isn't it? Go ahead, Laura.
Right. And so what's happening too, like in what's going on in the body of Christ is that we've been taught a false gospel and we're mocking God. It's gossiping and slandering about who God is. And what did he say in his word? What are the things that he hates? Gossip, liars, slanderers, backbiting, right? Defamation of character.
It's an assault on his
God hates liars.
It's assault on his character. Not to honor him, for those of us as Christians, not to honor him as King of Kings is an assault. It's an assault. Can you, folks?
Exactly. The lie that our government has sold is that there's a separation between church and state. No, there's not. That's a lie. Because my daughter's church was sticking needles into the people that were coming in. They held two clinics of jab clinics. And I had to literally go to the wall with her pastor to make sure that I threatened them with a lawsuit that if they stuck a needle in her arm, I was going to sue them from Sunday to Sunday until they were no longer in existence because she's already been vaccine injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because they got, and now that it's coming out, they all these churches all got federal grants to put face diapers on.
Yep.
Right. They all got, state backing, you know, so they're literally wanting to kill the sheep and they don't care.
Why don't they care?
I just love it that you and Michelle smell like the sheep and you're leading us. Betty smells like the sheep. Dale smells like the sheep, right?
See, here's
we smell like we've been in the pasture, not in the green room.
Here's what we miss. See, they want us to, the evil one wants us dead. You folks, are you gonna get that in you or not? That every, and be careful when you use the term every, but every organization that doesn't have at the heart of it Jesus Christ as ruler, they are not for your good, friends. The pharmaceutical company, they don't care if you die. They want you to die. They want your money. They want your money, and they want you to die. So Elon's in trouble because now he wants an investigation into how much those pharmaceutical drugs really cost as compared to what they're charging the consumer. Vinny.
I just wanted to go back to why everything is so wrong, because we're playing into a masquerade. Listen, the reason things aren't right is because they're lying about everything, right? Otherwise, things would be okay.
Amen. Amen. And we know this, don't we, Vinny? We know that the assault is on the truth. The truth is under assault. Hang on. Truth is a person. He's a person. And not only is he a person, he's a person that indwells me. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is. And the mention of his name is illegal in schools that you and I pay for. It is absolutely unbelievable. Tyranny at its highest. Come on in, Dale.
Amen, Coach. Spence, if you could please pull up 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let me see here what that verse that I'm looking for. It is going to be 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Coach, this thing of Christianity, this thing of being the salt, this verse you got to read slow.
Boy.
Yay, and they... Or who will live godly, those who will be Christians in Christ Jesus, shall? Does it say might? Possibly? Coach, let me tell you what. You shall suffer persecution. The twist that I see out of that Acts chapter 7 with Stephen, and it's just a matter of spiritual opinion here. When I read Colossians 2:14, disarming principalities, nailing them to the cross, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. There was only one reason for Jesus to get up, and that was to come back. Stephen was the first martyr, Coach. He was the first martyr, and he was up and ready to charge. I believe he was ready to come and smash this place, and we have no idea the beck and call what's coming. And for us Christians, the opportunity that we have right now, Trump is not perfect, neither is Elon Musk, but there has been a reprievement of grace given to us right now, because imagine what it'll be like when they get back in power. Woe unto you, inhabitants of United States, because those congressmen and senators are going to be full of wrath and fury, and so isn't the FBI. And you thought that face was bad? We haven't seen nothing yet, because they will come.
Huh? By the way, the theme of today's show, which I haven't got to yet, is justice and judgment. I haven't got to it yet. That's where I'm heading. Jeff Klein, go ahead.
Coach, you know, I sent you that picture last night of my sign out front.
Yep.
So just to let the people know, I put the sign out front. I was out there for a
David Arthur. David Arthur spoke in the church in the garage last night, and yeah. Jeff's car lot is right on the main drag, and Jeff put a sign out on the sidewalk. Go ahead, Jeff.
So it says, ex-homo/ex-tranny testimony, and the date and time. So, and everybody knows that we've been doing this 7 or 8 years there in the garage. So I got, four or five phone calls during the day yesterday, and just ripping me for hatred and being a bigot. And, you know, a couple times I tried to explain them to the people, you know, it's a testimony. He's found freedom in Christ. He's come out, you know, and then one lady would say, well, that's all good, but you're a bigot and hateful. I'm like, why is that hateful? So yeah, the one guy called me 4 times during the day yesterday. One guy, private number, cussing me. I mean, all he could do was cuss, and couldn't get a word edgewise. So I said, buddy, won't you come on down here? You are nothing but a coward. Come down here the lot and say, quit calling me. So last night, you know, I was sitting in there, and I thought I heard something about 7 or 7:15, a car go out there, and I didn't get up. I thought, what? So we walk out. They stole the letters off the top of the sign, ex-homo, ex-tranny. Stole it. Yep. So I told David, I said, I'm calling the cops. Just make a report of it. When people do that stuff, you got to report it. Just so they got a report.
Yep.
So we're doing that. The cop comes.
By the way, Jeff. Yeah. Hang on, Jeff. That's a hate crime, isn't it?
Go ahead. So my buddy, Jeff Hyatt, he sends me a text. I look down at it, says, you are Facebook famous. I'm like, oh, no. So the guy took a picture of my sign with the cars and the building there, and it said at the top, love to see us come together as a community and stop supporting businesses that are openly bigoted. I'm like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, Jeff, like they're not bigoted?
Yeah. Yeah. My wife's all worried about it. I said, Mary Jean, don't worry about it. That's a less than 1% of the people out there. They just want to try and intimidate.
That's right. There'll be more people come and get a car because you put the
sign out. That's what I told her.
Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you. Okay, real quickly. Oh, Lord, I got so much I want to do. Put up. Here's where we're put up the number one, black pastor. Folks, this is what we're dealing with within the body of Christ, right? Now, hang on. First of all, I don't know if you noticed this or not. Again, everything's race. Joy Reid, they're racist. They fired Joy. Oh, she's racist. Oh, they fired what's that guy's name on NBC? Oh, they're racist. Oh, we've been watching those lying dudes and dudettes talk to us for 10 freaking years, and we're tired of their lies, and we don't care what color they are. But see, they have to make it about something that it ain't, right? So here we go. Here's why we lose. Here's a black pastor, whatever the hell that means. Yeah, by the way, isn't Raphael, whatever his name is down there in Georgia, Senator Raphael Warnock, isn't he a Christian as well? Wasn't he a pastor as well? And isn't he for homosex and transgenderism and murdering little babies? Huh? See, we got to start calling our own out, see? That's what we got to start calling out the frauds in our midst. So listen to this dude, this pastor. About 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Been praying for me all week. You've been nervous all week, but I ain't afraid of the spooks that sat at the door. These runaway slaves hiding in the White House gonna throw my picture up thinking that I'm gonna be afraid. If you got real courage, don't show my picture. Show the picture of the one that fired the black joint chief of staffs from the military. If you're going to show a picture of the CEO of Target, Walmart, McDonald's, and Amazon that does not recognize black dollars or black business. If you're going to put up a picture of the state legislators in Florida that are banning black books. If you're going to put up the picture of the one who is stealing classified information from the IRS and Social Security.
Okay, get it off. I wonder if somewhere, somehow, some way, he ain't getting some kind of government kickback, because we've been told again that evil men are going to creep in unaware, and they're going to treat you that Christians have a color. Christians are have a color. Hey, yeah. Yeah, he is an idiot. However, you know how many are talking like this in the black community? Have any idea how many? Race baiters? Evil men crept in unaware, changed the truth of God into a lie? How come he's not up there praying for the president, praying that Elon Musk's eyes would be open? Oh, Lord, please open his eyes. No. Advance in race. Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. That's where it is. How come they pull up number four? Pour up number four. Let me see if have you guys seen this on Rachel Madcow? Have you seen this one on The View? Have you seen this one? Go ahead, play it.
It's Chloe Cole, and I'm a detransitioner. Another way to put that would
She is a detransitioner. In other words, she got everything cut off, and now she wants to go back to the way it was. By the way, did you see this on CNN? Fox News, they've been showing this. Go ahead.
Believe that I was born the wrong body. And the adults in my life, whom I trusted, affirmed my belief. And this caused me lifelong, irreversible harm. I speak to you today as a victim of one of the biggest medical scandals in the history of the United States of America. I speak to you in the hope that you will have the courage to bring the scandal to an end and ensure that other vulnerable teenagers, children, and young adults don't go through what I went through. At the age of 12, I began to experience what my medical team would later diagnose as gender dysphoria. I was well into an early puberty, and I was very uncomfortable with the changes that were happening to my body. I was intimidated by male attention, and when I told my parents that I felt like a boy, in retrospect, all I meant was that I hated puberty, that I wanted this newfound sexual attention to go away, that I looked up to my brothers a little bit more than I did to my sisters. I came out as transgender in a letter I sent on the dining room table. My parents were immediately concerned. They felt like they needed to get outside help from medical professionals, but this proved to be a mistake. It immediately set our entire family down a path of ideologically motivated deceit and coercion. The gender specialist I was taken to see told my parents that I needed to be put on puberty blocking drugs right away. They asked my parents a simple question. Would you rather have a dead daughter or a living transgender son? The choice was enough for my parents to let their guard down, and in retrospect, I can't blame them. This was the moment that we all became victims of so-called gender-affirming care. I look in the mirror sometimes, and I feel like a monster. My specialist first told my parents that they could have a dead daughter or a live transgender son. I wasn't suicidal. I was a happy child who struggled because she was different. However, at 16, after my surgery, I did become suicidal. I needed to be given therapy to help me work through my issues, not affirm to my delusion that by transforming into a boy, it would solve all my problems. We need to stop telling 12-year-olds that they are born wrong, that they are right to reject their own bodies and feel uncomfortable with their own skin. We need to stop telling children that puberty is an option. Puberty is a rite of passage to adulthood, not a disease to be mitigated. Today, I should be at home with my family celebrating my 19th birthday, and instead I'm making a desperate plea to my elected representatives. Learn the lessons from other medical scandals like the opioid crisis to recognize that doctors are human too, and sometimes they are wrong. Please let me be your final warning. Thank you. My name is Chloe Cole.
Lies, 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 everywhere lies. That's all it is, folks. That is all it is, right? And we, the church, sit around and wink and nod at it, which is why I asked David Arthur last night, David, what is homosexuality? What is it? Is it a mental illness? Is it a demon? Is it a spirit? What is it? And then we have ungodly, probably, I'm guessing, ungodly medical experts banging around in issues they got no understanding of. They don't understand. Doctors read the literature and do what the experts say, and then the doctors tell us what? Don't do your own research. Listen to us. How many people would be alive today? Ivermectin. Ivermectin. It's poison. It's a horse paste. Huh? Doctors. I believe doctors told you that. I believe. Quickly, Jeff. Come on in. Then Gino.
Coach, I just heard that story of that girl tell the whole story, the detransitioner. Guess where it was? Newsmax. Greg Kelly, yeah. Let her talk. And they've also been running the J6ers, letting interviewing them. They had the Tennessee 10 on there. I've seen them all. I've seen Kyle Zastro on Newsmax. They're still on Newsmax. And that's why they're the fastest growing channel right now, bringing in millions.
Amen. Amen. Fox ain't doing it. They're not doing it. Gino, come on in. Then Daryl.
Yeah, what? Go to Romans. It's a reprobate mind that's causing
reprobate it. Mind. Hey, Spencer. Look that up, reprobate. See what Mr. Webster says about reprobate. Reprobate, not enduring proof or trial, not of standard purity or firmness, abandoned to sin, lost to virtue or grace, abandoned to error. Reprobate mind. That's what we're dealing with. Good catch, Gino. Daryl, come on in.
Thanks, Coach. I was just sitting here thinking, you know, earlier you said, what would our football team look like if we were all just defense and we never played offense? We never went on the offensive. Well, we're playing their playbook, and this is what happens when you go and inject your kids with these vaccines, which have fetal cells in them.
Amen,
fetal cells. Fetal cells from what? Maybe a different gender. It's like we don't even think about this when our kids are young, they're dealing with this stuff that's injected in them. How are we getting the reprobate mind? Because we're running their playbook.
Let me stop you a second, Daryl, because I don't want people to miss the point that you just made. When somebody injects into your son, let's say, your young child gets an injection, they call it a vaccine, what kind of cells are in? Are they injecting in your son female cells? Do we know? Does this start a process of what they call dysphoria? Go ahead, Daryl.
No, that's just what I was thinking. You know, and not only that, not only running their own playbook, Christianity is the only religion that shoots its own wounded. I forget who I heard that from, but it's so true. I mean, you know, you go to church and it's like just some member measurement contest, you know? I'm so frustrated. So.
Me too, brother. Hey, we got to keep fighting, man. Now more than ever. Now more than ever, we got to keep fighting. Thanks, Daryl. Craig.
Hey, Spencer, pull up Saving God's Children, Getting Involved, and then the Saluna app. So, Coach, we're talking about what's coming in to our kids, right? So this is an app that's out marketing in California. One of the thoughts of Gavin Newsom, you know about him. But the Saluna app is this. It's for children between 13 and 25. It's a free downloadable mental health app. Okay, so you don't have to check with your parents, but look at what some of the resources are. It indoctrinates children with occult rituals, tarot cards, radical gender ideology, helps them to reject their biological reality and embrace new age spirituality. And it's being marketed under the thing that, you know, that we don't have enough counselors. It's 6 months to get in a counselor. So now we're going to put an app on. So you can download it on your phone. Now you have access to all these types of things. There's no control that the parents, they can do it without the, you know, put it on their phone. So there's a petition for that, and you can join that petition and stop this before it becomes what starts in California, sweeps across the United States.
Well, so Craig, I have to make a confession here. I didn't realize all of this stuff is on your website. Shame on me. There's some stuff there, folks. SavingGodsChildren.com. Is that what it is, Craig? .com?
That's correct.
SavingGodsChildren.com. It would do all of us. It would all do all of us well. Maybe to spend some time on that. Parents toolbox. Click on parents toolbox. I wonder how many people you go to church with might need to have some information. Parents toolbox. Toddlers and technology. Guide to parental controls. Wow, Craig. I apologize, man. This is some good stuff. 10 best parental controls. Middle school and high school. Dude, put that in the chat. Y'all need to spend some time on that. Put that in the chat. Amen. I want to finish on this. I'm not going to be able to finish it all. I'm not going Oh, I don't know who to go to. Okay, I'm going to do this. Pull up. It says lost history. This is off the chart, okay? But I want you to, you know, I got several emails yesterday. Because I talked about those buildings. If you watched yesterday, you know, the architecture. How did they build that? They didn't have any machines. How did they build all this architecture? Have they been lying to us? And then somebody sent me this. I won't say who. I think I know who it was. The lost history of flat Earth. Look, this isn't about flat Earth. Relax. It isn't about flat Earth. But this is how long is it? 5 hours. 5 hours. Just go about, I don't know, Spencer, just go 15 minutes into it. And folks, this is some stuff here, man. If you are just kind of curious, just play a little bit of it, Spence, any of it.
Are enormous. The infrastructure found in the photographs could hold a population well into the millions. Why are the cities so vast if the population was only 500,000 in each? Furthermore, the official narrative gives us a population that increases in a linear fashion from 1764. Many of the buildings we see here were built years before the photograph was taken. Did the Russians just plan well in advance? But it's when the population is introduced into these photographs that a new contrast emerges that is staggering. That is, between the people and the environment itself. It may be the reduced population numbers, or it may be the monochromatic starkness of the black and white images, but they present to us something that we've lived amongst our entire lives and never paid any mind to. That is, the enormity and impossibility of the architecture. As we engage with the industry and act of tourism, we journey from place to place and observe, taking it all in, learning, hearing, and being told what we are looking at and how it came to be. And standing in front of a structure like the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, we might even exclaim, wow, how did they do this? But the moment, inextricably wrapped up in the busyness of the scene, perhaps prevents us from really asking that question with sincerity. Standing in front of a structure like the Arc de Triomphe, while the crowd frantically takes pictures on their smartphones, makes it all a reality. And we conclude, before being shoved away by new tourists, well, they had to have done it somehow, because I'm here and looking at it. During our indoctrination at school, we are seldom shown old photographs of the grand cities scattered around our flat realm. And perhaps for good reason. Because when we marinate on images like this and are presented with the visual evidence of a very primitive Victorian people.
How did they build that? How did they build that? They have cranes? How did they do that? Uh-huh. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. I'm going to put that in the chat. As I said, it's called The Lost History of Flat Earth, Part 1 through 4 on 1.7. And if you're turned off by the flat Earth, just ignore that part of it. And unbelievable stuff, folks. The Bible says that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it also teaches us this, that Satan is the father of lies. There's a battle going on, isn't there? Breaking out right in front of us. Technology exposing all these things right in front of us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If we don't act like it and we don't advance that cause, who will? See you tomorrow.